everybody, and welcome to episode 53 of Eagle's Eye Report for Wednesday, May 24, 2023. And as usual, this show is sponsored by TLBTalk.com, which is our new social media website. It's where you go when you need to talk, because we know there's a concerted effort just about anywhere you would go today where you have public access to the truth. And I won't go much deeper into that because this is the opening. The title of today's show is America Being Canceled? And no, that's not a mistake. The title of today's show is America Being Canceled? Okay. The mission of today's show is to be a mechanism for communicating truth facts in a country, and you all hear me say this every week, increasingly forbidden of these very concepts. This is a fact. This is the reason why we need to do shows on outstanding platforms like Shake and Wake Radio. Our thanks to Annie, who owns and runs that network. And we have been friends for many, many years, and she is a good friend of ours and the Liberty Beacon Projects. And also PSN Radio, EPGN Radio Online, and SoFlo Radio. I would like to mention to you all again, the best thing you can do for them if you're already contributing on a semi-regular basis is to make that a contribution on a regular basis. Figure out what the average is per year. Divide that by 12. Come up with a number. Next time you go in to donate, put that in the box and click the little box that says make this a monthly reoccurring donation. You're actually not spending any more unless you wish to, but what you're doing is you're giving them a budget they can count on. You're allowing them to know how far they can go to give you bigger, badder, better, faster. So if you can do that, please do. And please guarantee that every time you listen to one of Annie's shows on Shake and Wake, one of the shows on Shake and Wake, which is Annie's network, it's going to get bigger, badder, better, faster because you're helping it to make that happen. Okay. We are, as I mentioned last week, just over a year's worth of Eagle Eye Reports. This is episode number 53. That should have been your first clue. So, Stephen, how are you today? And anything cooking? I don't think we've got much to talk about today, do we?
No, we're going to sign off right now, folks, so have a good one.
Do you know how many people believe you? Or me? Yeah.
Well, okay. all of the NSA personnel do, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're all gone. Now look at the chat. It's half empty. The problem here is that we all have something to say. The problem here is that where do you say it? Where will you get, I don't know, where will you get punished for speaking the truth? And where will you get promoted for telling a lie? This is the world we live in today. Okay? You shouldn't have to put up with either one of them. Our mission is to keep you armed with the vital truth and to give you a platform where you can do this, where you can discuss these very vital issues without fear of censorship, exclusion. Yeah. And that, of course, is, as I've stated, our sponsor, TLBTalk.com. This is a social media platform that was set up for people like you and me who are frustrated because the truth is no longer valued. And I didn't say that as in by anybody, as in by those who pretend to rule us. Okay. Some of the information put out on this show is made available via an article. And I say this every week simply because I fully believe in giving credit where credit is due. The article is called The Path to National Suicide. Yeah. By Robert Weinberg. A link to this article, as usual, will be included in tomorrow's show, which is published on thelibertybeacon.com by noon central every Thursday, the day after this show. And you will be able to read Robert's article in full. Part of the reason I grabbed Robert's article is because this guy really, without being vulgar, pulls no bones. And if you think Roger can be crass and harsh at times, I grabbed this article for a reason, and we will be going over a lot of it. Not all of it, because I don't take everybody's entire article, but what sparked me to make this show about this topic and what was said. We're probably going to read 50 to 70% of this article, Robert's article. It is that important. And that's the most I usually put in from anybody's article. But it will fit in with our discussion today, and it will fit in very well. And Stephen, you've had a chance to read the article as well. Do you think it's one of those in-your-face authors that we both kind of like?
Sure is.
Good. Then let's crank this up, my friend. Let's get this started. Okay, the name of the show again is America Being Canceled. What do I mean by canceled? Is it going away? Is it intentionally being shut down? Is door number one closing and door number two opening? Door number one being the global American hegemony? I don't know. You call it what you will. Is America being canceled? Now, let's remember the article that Robert wrote, and it's not the whole show, but it is a big chunk of it, is The Path to National Suicide. So he is indicating that we are flushing ourselves down the toilet. I'm indicating that we're being canceled, meaning it is someone else pulling the trigger. What you're going to find out is that Robert meant the same thing, but you really have to get into some of his content to understand how he focuses in that direction. And guess what? We're going to do that. So let's get started in my portion where none of this belongs to Robert. This is how I open my shows. This is my opening. These are my talking points. Is America being canceled? Let's start with a few questions. Listen to these questions, people, please. How important is the family unit to humanity's future? Again, how important is the family unit to humanity's future? Number two, how important is the family unit to America's future? And most of you haven't got a clue, and I will show you why. About question number three, how important is the family unit to you, not to the person sitting next to you, not to the guy you talked to this morning, not to the person you waved to at the bus stop this morning. How important is the family unit to you? And once you've considered these three questions, then how about we consider the following? The nanny state has arrived for your children. And yes, we will discuss that. Let me read that point again. The nanny state has arrived for your children. That's not a joke, people. It's not a guess. And anybody who hasn't been asleep for the last 3 years knows something of what I'm talking about. We're going to get into a little bit more detail. Yeah, but you see, this detail isn't real pretty. When I tell you that the nanny state has arrived, what I'm telling you is that the state is telling your children that they hold more sway over them than you as their parents do. Am I lying? No. Am I fooling with you? No. Am I joking? No. Am I stretching the truth? No. Your children are now being taught in school that they run your children's lives, not their parents. And if anything their parents do is outside of what these, I don't know, counselors, teachers, whatever, consider to be the norm, your parents are in trouble. So you come in, you tattle on them. Stop and think about what I'm saying, people. If you think I'm kidding, I can prove that unequivocally. Listen to what I just said. The nanny state has arrived for your children. With your children being made aware of this, and these liberals are guaranteeing they're aware of this, your children now become your boss. Not joking. And you need to shut up and tolerate it or else. What the hell is Roger talking about? How many of you remember a couple of shows back when I told you a law that was passed in Washington State a law that was passed whereby if a child decided that their parents had stepped over the line, they could leave their home and go to a shelter, and their parents could do nothing about it. The only way their parents will ever get those children back is if they do everything the state tells them to, including programmed visits, whereby they will ask that child how things are going. So basically now you have a child living in your house that is going to tell you in no uncertain words, he's not going to say it or she's not going to say it, but they're going to look at you, and that look is going to mean, don't piss me off because I'm gone again and this time I won't be back. How many of you think I'm kidding? I'm not. The family unit is being intentionally destroyed by a liberal governance. The quickest way to take a nation to its knees is to have it fall apart on itself, have it fall apart inward, ruin the family unit, ruin the local community. Can you see where Roger's talking about? Why the hell would the state step in to tell my children that if anything I do upsets them, they should let them know and we will be punished for it? That's not the exact words that are used, but that's the exact result. Anybody doubt what I'm saying? Do a little research. This is not new news. But now you have to realize the fact that you are no longer in charge of your children if your children have been informed that anytime you displease them, they have places to go and tell. And anytime they don't want to be with you anymore, they can walk out and you can't touch them. Stop and think about what Roger is saying. And that's only the opening of the show because that's not the main focal point. What we're talking about here is so far beyond what I ever heard as a young adult. And when Roger says young adult, Roger's talking about the middle 1970s. I was born in 54. In 74, I was 20 years old. None of this would have made sense to me. None of it. And today, our children are made to understand it. They're made to understand that your parents are no longer the focal point of your life when it comes to the cans and cannots. It's not. Okay? Who is it now? It's the state. And the state is making this abundantly clear to your children. And what we are seeing, and what we will continue to see at a increasing rate, is either the destruction of families, okay, or the inevitable never start of families. In other words, I'm not going through that crap. I saw what my parents went through. I'm not going to do that. Or. We are seeing a lot less children born in the United States than you would even possibly believe. In 2014, 10 years ago, that was the last time I could get the number I'm about to give you. The United States suffered a 314,000 birth deficit. People, that was a decade ago. Do you think it got better? Or do you think it's gone into overkill? This is what we're going to be talking about today. How does a nation continue without a population? How does a nation continue when it cannot replace its own population? Does it open its borders and allow unfettered entrance? Look around you. 10 years ago, they knew we were losing population. I would imagine they knew it before then. But what most people aren't telling you is that even 10 years ago, a lot of this was being blamed on vaccines and the childhood vaccine schedule. Yeah. and the damage that these vaccines were doing to our children, all the way up to and including sterilizing them. Not a joke. Go to the libertybeacon.com, our flagship website. Type in Roger Landry, comma, vaccines, hit enter. You will find hundreds of articles I've been writing for over a dozen years that tells you all of these things 10 years before they stuffed it down our throat in a COVID pandemic. Does Roger have an idea of what he's talking about? Just a wee bit. All right, Stephen. That was my intro. We're about to jump into pulling this article apart. Would you like to add anything before we go into the next phase? Because Robert gets pretty in your face, and I like it.
Well, I did come across a video. I don't know whether how recent it was, but the Dylan Mulvaney that lost his
lost his
Bud Light contract.
Yeah, no kidding.
He wants legislators to introduce a bill that will prosecute, or they will they will indict and prosecute anyone that doesn't call him a woman.
They will criminalize it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. And the whole thing here is when does that stop? If somebody walks up to you on a crowded street and you look at them and say, "Excuse me, sir, but," does that person look at you and go, "I want your name, I want your address, I want your telephone number, I'm suing you, I'm a woman, you didn't call me a she."
Yeah. You mentioned...
I overdid that just a little bit, but I'm making a point here.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier about children telling on their parents, and I completely thought about 1984.
Yep. And I was actually going to touch on that, but you just did that brilliantly, so now I don't have to. All right. How about we jump into a bit of Robert's article? This will be Robert and Roger. And believe me, if you thought I was crass or I was, I don't know. Yeah. With me and him together, it's a good discussion. Would you say, Steve?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Okay. Okay. Let's get this cranking. The thing about his article is the title is so apropos when you listen to what he says. So we're going to start it off by repeating the title one more time, The Path to National Suicide. Okay. Robert has a lot of great thoughts. Let's pick and choose, but let's bring some of them out. Without unrestricted imagination or immigration, nations like the United States cannot survive unless women have 2.1 children each. The 0.1 reflects women who do not have children. The bad news is that the U.S. is falling short in reproducing itself. Occasionally, exceptions such as the baby boom aside, U.S. fertility rates have dropped over the last two centuries and show no signs of rising to the 2.1 replacement level. We are currently at 1.6.
I've got something to add. Something else. I heard 10 years ago at around the 2010 range that it was at 1.85 at that time.
Yeah. And at that point, we had already just about we were already losing approximately 300,000 births from where we should be. That was in 2014. It was 314,000, I mean. And so by 2010, it was probably close to 300,000. Now, this is what they project with how many women live in the country, blah, blah, so forth. They do all their statistics, and they come up with a number of how many children each woman has to have in order to maintain the population at its current rate. Okay, and that number is 2.1 children. At the present time, it's 1.6 in this country, and as I told you, we have been missing the mark, and as Steve just told you, for at least 15 years, probably 20 years now. And if you understand his opening, he states that since over the last 200 years, the actual birth rate has been decreasing in this country. It counted 2.1 births per woman in order to maintain the population. So the United States has never been a country where we had a lot of excess births. But lately, we are a long way off from even maintaining our population. We didn't get to 350 million people by not having babies. We didn't get to 350 million people by bringing a lot of people in from different countries. We didn't get to 350 million people any other way, mainly, than reproduction of the citizens within this country. Now, were there a couple million, people that came in from any country and every country, legally and illegally? Of course there were. Over the course of the year, every year. But we're talking about a hell of a lot more than that if you're talking about sustaining a 350 million person population. My question to you is, who really wants to maintain a 350 million population? The elites don't. The last thing they want is 350 million cocky Americans. 50 million, maybe. 20 million, probably. 10 million, for sure. 350 million, hell no. What do I keep telling you people over and over again? There are two things the elites need to do in order to control this planet 100%. They need to break down the economy all across the planet and take control of it. And number two, they got to get rid of at least 90% of the people. Are 8.5 billion people controllable? Hell no. Are 0.5 to 1 billion people controllable? Hell yes. So all we're talking about here is what? The replacement of those who are dying. Right now, what's the biggest portion of the American population? Most of you immediately said baby boomers, people like me. People who were born in the 50s and the 60s, we are the baby boomers. There's a hell of a lot of us. And right now, we're taking Social Security down the drain. At least we're being told we are. Although we paid in, we didn't tell them they could take money out of that account. They did that anyway. The point is, there are a lot of baby boomers. We are a huge cost on the United States. We really are. Okay. So let's start this over. Without unrestricted immigration, nations like the United States cannot survive unless their women are having 2.1 children each. The bad news is it isn't happening. U.S. fertility rates have dropped like a rock. Okay, anybody out there hear that the COVID-19 jabs are responsible for infertility in a lot of women and men? If you haven't heard that, do a little research. But then again, that's what the show's about, isn't it? Okay. The baby shortfall has huge consequences beyond potentially filling the nation with immigrants. In other words, if we need to maintain a minimum population and we cannot do it ourselves, we have no choice but to import or allow immigration up to a certain point. Controllable, legal, but we're not at that point. An aging population brings higher risks as far as cost goes, and those are healthcare costs, those are budget costs. Budgets are devoured by pensions, shrinking tax bases, labor shortages, empty schools, universities, and a stagnant economy. Well, a lot of these things I just mentioned, elderly people don't go to. But if these people didn't have children, or if people like me who have children who should have grandchildren by now, and most of them don't, then what are we leading to? We're leading to pensions being really, really taxed because most of the people with those pension plans are using them. They're retired. Shrinking tax bases. Why? Because most of these people aren't working anymore or dead. Labor. You don't have as much labor if a majority or the biggest segment of the population is retired. Empty schools, not having children, nobody in schools. Empty universities, not having children, nobody in universities. Or fewer than you need to maintain the budgets of those universities. And how about a stagnant economy? Economies require people to buy. And as the number of people who will buy shrinks, the number of products that need to be made available also shrinks. Moreover, Africa aside, depopulation is worldwide and apparently unfixable. What I just described to you is happening all over the first world, especially, but not so much in Africa. Okay? But you want to talk first world. You want to talk France. You want to talk Germany. You want to talk Finland. You want to talk the United States. They all have negative population numbers. It's not a joke. It's not a guess. These are facts. All right? Countries as diverse as Japan and Russia have tried to obvious solutions such as free childcare and subsidies, but to no avail. It has not increased the amount of children per woman in or women in their country. Scandinavian countries offer lavish child-friendly policies, but likewise fail to move the needle. Between 2006 and 2021, South Korea spent $200 billion from maternity leave, paid child care, and similar pronatal measures, but the paternity rate still dropped, didn't rise, dropped from 1.1 in South Korea to 0.81. So bad went to worse, even with an investment of $200 billion. Now, this should be a major political issue regardless of one's ideology. The left, excuse me, surely needs a healthy economy to finance its welfare state while business depends on factory and service workers. Nobody wants a shrinking workforce whose principal responsibility is to fund a growing geriatric population. In other words, they need workers to make sure people like me who are in old folks' homes or so on and so forth, collecting Social Security, collecting our pensions. Yeah, they're there to make sure that we're well supported. We're looking at a huge upshift in the average age of any nation in the first or second world. This is not a joke. Our fertility problems acknowledged what is being done to encourage more children. So if we acknowledge this, which we have to, we don't have any choice, then what stands out as being done to encourage more children? This is the only way out of this, people. Okay? It's either that or let them make a lot of robots or let them make a lot of clones or whatever. But we're going to reach a point where we cannot sustain the society we live in today if we don't have the workforce to maintain it or sustain it. In which case, we have two options, okay? We either have to change everything about how and what and why we do it, or, again, start cloning, start doing a lot of things that you see in science fiction movies that are actually probably, I don't know, doable today. But how many of us would put up with it unless it was a catastrophic reason or the only way out of a surefire global failure, like a population that can't even support itself? Yeah. Our fertility problems acknowledged what is being done to encourage more children. What are educators in this crisis who might help shape a pro-child culture? What are they saying? What are they doing? Where are these educators? Why are they not stepping up? They can see the issue unless they're being told this is exactly what is intended. And I'm going to tell you, even though people like Steve and myself are talking about the fact that this is happening and it shouldn't be, it is choreographed, people. You cannot run an entire planet from one seat. One throne of 8.5 billion people. This population is slimming down. And it's slimming down whether we like it or not. And I'm going to throw something in there that wasn't part of this show, but I'm going to say it because it needs to be said. Over 6 billion people have been vaccinated with the mRNA jab. I'm wondering how many of those fully vaccinated 6 billion plus people will be alive in 3 or 4 years. Is that something I enjoy saying? No. Is it something I think needs to be said? Yes. And that's another whole show, but that had to fit in right here. Okay. Recall the popular Dick and Jane elementary school reading books of the 1950s. I do. Featuring an idyllic family or family-friendly TV sitcoms, you know, Leave It to Beaver or whatever. This was all about the family. These were the baby boomers. This was a huge generation, okay? This was all about the family. It was touted on the TV. It was touted on the radio. It was touted in our school books. And today, it has done an extremely quick backflip, and it now is the total opposite. We ready for a break, Steve? I think I need a breath.
Yes, sir. I was just getting ready to ask you.
Yep. Thank you.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tldtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
All right. So do me a favor, people. If you want to talk about things all the way up to and including what we're talking about right now, if you want to talk about it and you want to say the truth, and you don't want to have to say words that are subdued because you know they're not going to get you shadow banned or kicked off or your article removed from, say, Facebook or from, I don't know, Instagram, or your video removed from YouTube, or this is a place where you can go. Now, that doesn't mean you can do things that are illegal. It doesn't mean you can do things that are so unscrupulous it's insane. Okay? This is a community. Respect those around you. They will respect you. And anything can be said, respect. Anything. Okay? And with that in mind, understand this. You have a place to go and talk. TLVtalk.com. All right. So, amazingly, much of our education establishment is pushing youngsters away from family life. Listen to me. How much more do we have to hear about schools? How much more do we have to hear about schools to understand that schools are the most dangerous thing to our families that we know? How many of you listening to this ever thought you would hear anybody say how dangerous schools were to our family? How my kid can go to school today, see a transvestite, you know, doing a butt grind in front of them, showing them how to use a butt plug, okay? And then that telling that kid, if you want to be something else, that's so much more fun. You go home and tell your parents you want to. And if they say no, you come back and tell us and we'll make it happen. This is what's happening in school. This isn't happening, somebody walking up to your kid on the street where you have no control. This isn't happening at their club. This isn't happening downtown, you know, where everybody goes to ride a merry-go-round. This is happening in school. This is happening in a place where you have to send your kids. They got to go to school. Even if it's homeschooling, it has to qualify. So you might as well say your kids have to go to school. So let's start with that again. Amazingly, much of our education establishment is pushing youngsters away from family life, and they can start as early as kindergarten and continue into college. In a sense, at least some educators are promoting this national suicide that masquerades as freedom to choose among multiple pleasurable sex options. Millions of today's youngsters now learn that procreative sex is just one of many, many options. And unlike past sage advice of be careful, use protection, today's message is avoid heterosexual sex altogether. But if you must, choose techniques that will not produce children. This is what they're teaching your kids. If you're a woman and you have sex with a woman, you ain't going to have babies. Don't worry about it. If you're a man and you have sex with a man, you ain't going to have babies. Forget about it. So enjoy your sex. But if you're going to have sex with the opposite sex, here's the things you may want to do to keep from having a baby. Are you kidding me? How many parents would vote yes if they were asked if that curriculum should be made available to their children? How many? And how many of those won't have children? Millions of today's youngsters now learn that procreative sex is just one of many other options. And unlike past sage advice, be careful, use protection. Today's message is avoid heterosexual sex altogether. This is what they're teaching your children. But if you must, listen to me. They're telling your heterosexual children, at least you think they are, they're too young, they haven't made their mind up yet. They're telling your heterosexual children to not have heterosexual sex at all. But if you absolutely must, choose techniques that will not produce children. Your children are being taught as young as age 5 to avoid sex with the opposite sex. Are you all listening to what I just said? That's not a joke. And when you convince a big chunk of our children not to have children, and we're already in the quicksand when it comes to replacing our population, all this does is exacerbate it. And I told you we were going to get there, and here we are. A lot of what you're seeing in our schools today, a lot of what you're seeing in our homes today, this comes right out of your schools today. Not a joke. Stephen, did you even think when you were a kid that schools would be literally there destroying the American infrastructure and doing it in a liberal fashion with intention? Did you ever think you would see that, Stephen?
No. But I had heard about all of the conspiracies back then when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, anyway, yeah. This is not what we're talking about. This is not something that everybody should be latching onto, but this is what your kids are being taught. So whereas it's not something that Stephen thinks, it's not something that I think, we are the people that are moving into the old folks' homes. I'm kind of joking with that, but point is, we are those baby boomers. We are the 65 to 85 group, okay? This is us. And what we're seeing today is absolutely just beyond anything we could have imagined when we were in our 20s. Consider, for example, what is transpiring at the trendy, progressive Waldorf school. This is the Waldorf school, where mandatory sex education for fifth graders offers illustrated instruction on masturbation plus oral and anal sex. I apologize for the crassness, but this is exactly what's being offered. I'm not saying this just to make dirty words or nasty words sound cute. I'm saying this because this is exactly what the curriculum is that's being offered. Consider, for example, that what is transpiring at Trinity expensive, progressive Waldorf school, where mandatory sex education for fifth graders offers illustrated for fifth graders instructions on masturbation, oral and anal sex. This curriculum is produced by the Unitarian Church and claims to be an honest, accurate information about sexuality changes, about how sexuality changes lives. It dismantles stereotypes and assumptions. It builds self-acceptance and self-esteem. It fosters healthy relationships. It improves decision-making and has the potential to save lives. They're teaching your children how to masturbate, your fifth graders, how to have oral sex and how to have anal sex. And they just got done telling you this makes these children so much better than they could ever have been without this. I'm going to read. Yes, this is actually out of Robert's article. I'm going to read this again. This curriculum is produced by the Unitarian Church and claims it to be honest, accurate information about sexuality changes lives. How? It dismantles stereotypes and assumptions, builds self-acceptance and self-esteem, fosters healthy relationships, improves decision-making, and has the potential to save lives. So you're going to teach my kids how to have sex with a guy in his back end, and then you're going to tell me that makes my kids so much better. And you're going to teach it to my freaking fifth graders. In kindergarten and first grade, it offers new and expansive ways of addressing gender identity and roles, sexual orientation, race, ability, and more for children and their families. These are kindergartners and first grade. Today's 6-year-old Dick and Jane will now explore their myriad sexual orientations. This is what your children in kindergarten and first grade are learning. They're learning it's not cool if you're a boy to be a boy. They're learning it's not cool if you're a girl to be a girl. They're learning that if you are a boy and you want to stay a boy, that you should love boys and not girls. They're learning that if you're a girl and you want to stay a girl, you should love girls and not boys. This is the curriculum for your children. Why is the birth count in America dropping like a rock? And we're already at the point where, as a population, we can't fix it. So we either have to watch our population dwindle, or let a lot of those people coming across the border stay. And I'm not the person who likes to even think something like that, never mind say it. But these are things that are hidden in the shadows. These are things you don't get told very often. How many times has somebody told you the United States population is dwindling and we're already past the point where we are capable of fixing it? How many times have you ever heard that? My shows are not bigger, badder, better than anybody else's. I never say they are. The shows that Stephen and I do are to tell you about the things that nobody else is telling you about and how they work into the overall scenario that's destroying your life, this country, and your children's future. If you don't think it's very important for these elitists to eliminate a very large portion of this population, you ain't been listening to a lot of what a lot of people have been telling you. Economic ruination and the collapse of global population. This is exactly what these elitists need. And this is exactly what got thrown in your face 3 years ago and has blown up since. We will see a massive die-off due to those vaccines. We will see country after country, whether it's via war or economic mechanisms, fail until you end up with a global society, whether we like it or want it or not. So out of the two things I've constantly told you over and over again we need, would you say, especially in a country like the United States, there are probably well over a half a million birth deficit in this country every year, and it may even approach a million, leaves us in a very precarious position now, doesn't it? But how many times have you heard the government jump up and scream about that? Do they even want to fix it? They don't, people. And the Waldorf school we just talked about is not an outlier. A tsunami of gay-friendly school books are targeting preteens. In one California school, third graders had to complete an assignment that referenced experimenting with gender presentation and the gender spectrum. The normalization of homosexuality is even being pushed in Congress as it debates H.R. 5, dubbed the Equality Act, that if enacted would add sexual orientation and gender identity as a protected class to the 1964 Civil Rights Act. You walk up to somebody on the street and you say, "Excuse me, sir, can you tell me what time it is?" And that guy looks at you and says, "Wrong pronoun. I'm a girl. What's your name? What's your address? I'm suing you." And you didn't have a clue. And you didn't intend to do anything wrong. And yes, I'm blowing it over a little bit, but this is what we're walking into, people, and why. To be sure, parents are fighting back, but woke publishers are on a holy mission to keep these books in the schools by suing school boards under the banner of the First Amendment. Did you hear what I just said? The First Amendment gives you the right, okay, to be heard. What the First Amendment doesn't guarantee you is that somebody has to buy your books and your children have to read your books because you said so. The First Amendment says you can stand on your pulpit, you can stand on your bully pulpit, you can stand in the middle of the town square, you can do any of that and say whatever you wish. But your freedom to speak doesn't guarantee that everybody else has to listen whether they wish to or not. So what we are looking at right now is publishers that are trying to sue schools who don't wish to have their curriculum in their classrooms, and they're using the First Amendment. That hasn't been played all the way out yet. Once it is, we'll be doing a show on that, Stephen. Wouldn't you think that would be a great show?
I do, yes.
Yeah, and I'm eagerly waiting for something to be said about that. Okay. Let's go to businesses have similarly enlisted this antinatal crusade by pushing kids away from the traditional birds and bees message. And businesses are doing that. How often do you see birds and bees on anything anymore? You really don't. This propaganda may even begin at breakfast. Now, when I say propaganda, I'm talking about your kids being convinced that either they're not the right sex or they're really attracted to their own sex and not another one. And why would I say this could even – propaganda could even begin at breakfast? To celebrate Pride Month, Kellogg released – Kellogg, okay? Yes. Yeah, Kellogg, one of the biggest cereal makers on the planet, released its Together with Pride cereal for kids featuring Tear Out Together Band, which you can put on, that enable children to share their pronouns. Now, children have pronouns. And they can go to school and say, "I'm not a boy. I'm not a girl. You better call me by my right pronoun. Look at my bracelet. Look at my bracelet." What the hell are we doing to our kids, people? I can't scream loud enough, so I didn't. The propaganda may even begin at breakfast when you've got Kellogg doing this, okay? Kellogg is also donating $3 for every cereal box sold to a prominent gay organization. In other words, if you're straight and you buy, and your organization buys this cereal, you pay regular price. But if you're gay and your organization buys this cereal, you get $3 off. Or Kellogg will donate $3 for each box of cereal. Are you freaking kidding me? When you make it fun, when you make it adventurous, when you make it something these kids want to try, they gotta try. That woman up there, or was it a guy? I don't know. Wearing all those colored clothes in that wig. That person was so funny. God, I want to do that so bad. I think I'm going to tell Mom I don't want to be a boy anymore. And now, that child rules your life. Don't laugh. It wasn't a joke. You go home. Your child is there. Your child says, I don't want to be a boy anymore. I want to be a girl. And you tell your child when you're 18 years old, that's a decision you can make. Until then, you need to gather as much information and experience as you can in the world to decide if that's the best move forward for you. And that kid looks at you, and you've all heard me say this once before. I'm going to say it again. That kid looks at you and says, yeah, I'm on my way out that door. Don't expect me for dinner. I'm not coming home tonight. And as that kid walks out the door, he flips you or she flips you the bird and walks away. There's nothing you can do when that kid who knows exactly where he or she, the shelter they're going to, gets there. You need to understand something. In order to get that child at home, you need to beg. When you talk to that child, I wouldn't be surprised if that child says, well, I'm not having too bad a time here, but if you want me home, these are the things I'll tolerate and these are the things I won't. I'm not joking. When you tell a 10-year-old kid that by his parents' actions, he can react to either stop them or force them in a different direction. And how does he realize that? The first time he walks out of the house and says, I'm not coming home tonight, or her. This isn't a joke, people. How many of these kids are interested in having children? All of this piles up to form one of the biggest blocks going forward to not only fertility in this country, but to even normal childbirth. Yeah. Kellogg has been doing this for a while, but they've really come to a peak now. Meanwhile, kids can after school watch the cartoon Blue Clues that offers an episode sung by a drag queen celebrating LGBT plus identities. Target now offers an LGBT pride collection that includes so-called tuck-friendly, i.e. extra space to hide genitals, wear, and rainbow-colored outfits for infants and children. One Target t-shirt announces trans people will always exist. Other examples of marketing homosexuality to children include Care Bears phone cases, Teletubbies, Pride Collection, Disney rainbow gear, and listen to me! The one I'm about to say almost made me puke the first time I read it. And the last one he mentions, a gay Captain America. Did you hear what the hell I just said? A gay Captain America! Okay. I'm not even going to beat that up anymore. I'm not going to drag it out. I'm not going to try to figure it out. To me, that was inexcusable. And it's not Robert who put that in his material, it is where he dug it up from. Yeah. Colleges are naturally fully committed to undermining procreative sex via sex weeks, featuring trendy kinkiness. Harvard College offers entire seminars on talking dirty and anal sex, along with handing out free sex toys to undergraduate participants. What? And who's paying for that? How many parents would be paying for their kids to go to that college if they knew that? How many? Tulane University offers 20-plus sex-related events that include condom kits and sex toys. undergraduates at the University of Chicago can participate in a gathering called Taste of Kink. Taste of Kink, or the Magical World of Porn, or Sex and Human Rights, or A Consumer's Guide to Sex Toys, or And Dating While Trans. Notably absent in this extensive list is a sex seminar about finding a life partner, getting married, and raising a family. Perhaps, I don't know, perhaps conveniently, is, or even conventionality. This is the final taboo on today's campuses. Today, if we really look, we find these things. But how many people came up to you and told you about them? How many articles did you read? How many videos did you watch that brought up the things that I brought up today? Out of 10,000, maybe two or three. Out of 1,000, you were lucky if you saw one. But this is having such a massive impact on today's American society. It's insane. And nobody's talking about it. Eliminating this normalization of homosexuality will hardly reignite a new baby boom. Population trends cannot be reversed by stopping Target from selling rainbow-themed infant clothing. Rather, today's children are growing up in an environment that is uniformly anti-family. And the obstacles to upping the birth rate are sufficiently formidable without yet more piling on it. Those who design school curriculum or market merchandise to children might be wise to adopt the venerable adage, premium non nocere, or first do no harm. Sounds like the pledge from our doctors. You may be unable to bribe women to have children, but at least you can resist trying to crush the biological urge to have them. And this is what we're seeing, is that that urge is literally being crushed long before they get out of school and into a life where they would be having children. It's hard to find any push for the friend or child-friendly traditional family. There is no contemporary equivalent of the successful and upbeat TV series The Brady Bunch that sympathetically portrayed a blend of family of six children and family surroundings. Big screen romantic comedies with boy courts, girl proposes, she accepts, they get married, raise a family, and live happily ever after are now apparently unthinkable. Who would believe such a fairy tale anymore? Look, people, what I'm talking about here, okay? According to a recent Pew study, those abandoning a religious faith far outnumber those embracing a faith. But the religious outbreed, the non-believers, and thanks to the wonders of compound interest, may soon outnumber the godless. Believers may flourish while the millions of elderly, childless Americans will eventually reside in old folk homes and bereft of any family or any visitors. What we are looking at today is an entire generation that is being pushed away from having a family. What we are looking at will aid in the collapse of America as we know it. And we're going to talk more about this next week. Any last words, Stephen? Because I know I taxed you to say so much on this show.
I was just thinking, I'm reading a book. I'm going to be done pretty quick here on Tuesdays, Sexual Sabotage by Dr. Judith Reisman. Yeah. This all stems from two books from Dr. Alfred Kinsey, The Human Sexuality of the Male and the Human Sexuality of the Female, 1948-1953.
Yeah.
We've got this entire Marxist agenda because of him.
That's what was going to be talked about next week. And I'm really glad you said that, because we're going to take this to the next level. This just pisses me off so bad. It's insane.
Yep.
Okay. And I'm not going to let this go with just one show. So we will take this into a different direction next week, but it will continue the information everybody has heard this week. And we thank you very much for listening. Steve and I appreciate you all.
Yep. Until next time, folks.